you. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to say thank you to the organizers for inviting me to speak on this conference. As we started to exchange emails within the panel, it soon turned out that I'm the only one representing classical pharmaceutical industry, so it became obvious that I'm giving my talk on behalf of the pharmaceutical industry. Probably it will be slightly or more different from the other speeches. This is the company I'm serving for quite a long time. It's a more than 100 years old company with 12,000 colleagues working for it. We are a fully integrated company, so we have all original research in-house, doing all the chemistry, the production and marketing as well, with a total revenues of 1.2 billions of euros and spending, since we are talking about science. Research and development budget is 13% of our sales, which is relatively high in the industry. And we have more than 1,000 researchers in the R&D organization, which is the biggest in this part of Europe. I think we can agree on that. The mission of a pharmaceutical company is to discover, develop, and bring to the market new drugs. Unfortunately or fortunately, these companies are, in most of the cases, companies limited by shares, quoted on different stock exchanges, so we need to satisfy the needs of our shareholders also. So we must make profits at the end as well. And we maintain this circle by reinvesting into research and development and trying to bring new products to the market. We all know that drug discovery and development is quite a lengthy, very expensive and a very risky business, so basically, it's 10, 12 or more years from the invention to the pharmacy, and it costs somewhere between $1 and $2 billion of dollars for bringing one new chemical entity to the market. That's not exactly how I... Okay, anyhow, so what you see in the... Yes, what you see here in the light part of the circle is the two-thirds or 80% of the market. This is North America, Europe, and Japan. The whole pharmaceutical market is $1,000 billion, and 80% of it is coming from the so-called developed world. 20% is coming from the so-called rest of the world, meaning 80% of the world's population. What is important to note here, that in these countries, in the developed part of the world, 50 to 80% of the drug costs are paid by the social security systems. So it's not the patient who is going to pay in the pharmacy for the pharmaceuticals, but it's the social security systems. The market tripled in 15 years' time, but the growth is quite clearly slowing down. Why is this so? And I think this is a key chart in my presentation, because this shows the root reasons which are changing fertility rates and demography. So all these social security systems, which were formed and developed after the Second World War in the 50s, were based on the existing demography at that time, having five workers supporting one retired person. And this ratio, 5-to-1, was changing during the years. In 2009, it's 3-to-1, and it's going to change further to 2-to-1 by 2030. And obviously, it has its result. This declining support ratio means less income to the social security systems. Less income means that they have a smaller budget. On the other end, they have a more growing budget need, because in this part of the world, the life expectancy is growing, meaning that more elder people are living with us, consuming more and more medicines. This is an exponential growth of the demand side for the pharmaceuticals. From a pharmaceutical company's view, the regulatory requirements are ever growing, meaning that longer and longer development times and more money is needed to bring one product to the market. So all in all, there is a growing gap between the demand and the possibilities of the social securities. This is the classical model, how a pharmaceutical company worked in the 70s and 80s. They had a high price paid by the payers, so this is social security systems. By this, they could have a big marketing network. All the costs can be borne based on these profits. They could have a high R&D budget as well. with the high R&D budget, they had a good chance to bring new chemical entities to the market. And by this, there were always new and new blockbusters coming and curing ill people. On the other end, one must note that certain illnesses just disappeared based on this model. 50 years ago, ulcer, for example, was a deadly illness. Thousands and thousands of people died with a bleeding stomach. In the developed world nowadays, there is no such a problem. It can be cured by very cheap medicines brought to the patients by the pharmaceutical industry. And this is the same for the blood pressure or oral contraceptives or several other illnesses as well. But what if, and this is the case today, what if the payers are not willing or not being able to pay anymore the high costs? So then this circle is cut and probably new products will be less and less on the market. As I said, it's the 20% of the population who represents 80% of the markets. And unfortunately, since these companies need to make profits, they have this 80% of the market in their focus rather than the 80% of the population. So needs of the 80% population is less considered, while we know that the typical cause of death is different in low and in the high income countries. This chart shows neglected tropical diseases, which affect more than 1 billion people. Based on what I just said, it's apparent that probably for these diseases, there will be no cure developed by the private-owned pharmaceutical companies. This is my last chart. So I think for all of us, what we need to consider is to bring affordable access to treatment and affordable access to medicines to all ill people. And I think emphasis both on affordable and both on access, because if we have access, but it's not affordable, that wouldn't help, and vice versa. But on the other end, those who are the professionals and those who are able to bring these new products to the market are private companies, and they need to consider profitability also. So someone must pay for this development of new products. My point here is that without government and development aid agency involvement, for certain illnesses there will be no products developed by the private industry. One can always see that there is a growing social expectation for CSR, so corporate social responsibility, towards companies to do good. And I must tell you that industry is willing to do good. So I think there is an openness from the industry. But we need always to consider that we have, unfortunately, shareholders. And these shareholders need to understand this kind of social responsibility also. So the one sentence message is that governments and development aid agencies must influence healthcare spending in a way. Otherwise, there will be no new products. Thank you very much.
Thank you.